again a warm welcome to everyone that's come along this evening. I wonder if we might just turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel. We're reminded there that the Bible is indeed the Word of God, a Word that's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to speak to us, and it's able to change us forever. Now turn in 1 Samuel chapter 18, please. First Samuel 18 and verse 18 says, "And David said unto Saul, Who am I? And what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" And then over to the New Testament, book of James, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. And James chapter 4, no, verse 13, for connection says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain." Verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And then over into 1 John, just a few pages over there. 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word this evening. Maybe just ask again for God's help, will we? Our Father, we do just come into thy presence again and give thee thanks for thy word. Do pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that as we would speak, that we might speak as thou hast commanded, as an oracle of God. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wouldst really take thy word and the words which are spoken tonight, Father, and would really use them just to pierce the unbelieving heart in here tonight. Do pray, Father, that we might just see fruits for this labour and that souls will just be saved. And Father, that they might just be drawn near to thyself. We do cast ourselves upon thee now and just wait for that Spirit of the living God to move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. The last time that I spoke to you, we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we read Lamentations 1, verse 12, about the sorrowing of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. What I really wanted to say to you on that occasion was I wanted to establish just who the Lord Jesus actually was and just why the Lord Jesus came to this earth. Really, what we could have titled it on that occasion was, "Who is He?" Tonight, God willing, I want to look really at much the same thing, but from a different angle. The last time we asked, who was the Lord Jesus? And tonight I want to ask, who am I? I want to take the three verses that I've read, and from that, really draw three questions. I've been told that any good preacher should have 3 points. So, forgive me for not being a good preacher, but I've got 3 points, so that should do. What I want to look at, firstly, is God's view of me. What am I? That comes from 1 Samuel. And then, in James's epistle, I want to really look at the brevity, the shortness of our lives, and ask, what is my life? And then, in 1 John, and chapter 3, verse 1, I want to look at the blessing that we can have if we accept the Lord Jesus as our own personal Lord and Saviour. And the question that I want to ask there is, what can I be? What am I? Well, there are a few things which define me as a person. I'm white. I'm 18. I'm male. I'm from New Cumnock. I'm a member at New Cumnock Gospel Hall. All of these things form like my identity as a person. There are things about you which form your identity as a person, the car you drive or whatever it is. And these are all the things that men and women take. And these are the things on which they base their opinions of you. Really, how important are these things though? Men can form opinions of us, but what we really need to think is about that characteristic in our lives which we should really be worried about. Not how men view us, not what our standing is before men, but what our standing is before God. How does God view me? Not how do men view me? All of these other things are just temporal. They're just here for a wee while. Corinthians says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what's seen is temporary, but what's unseen is eternal. And these things are just here for a little while, as James' epistle says. So what is our view? Or what's God's view of us? God says in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Other translations render it, all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Each and every one of us is born a sinner. We're born with a sinful nature. The psalmist says that we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That means that from the very moment that we are born, we are unfit for heaven. Doesn't matter if your mum's saved or if your dad's saved. Other people would tell you that it's alright if your mum's saved and your dad's saved, because that means you're saved automatically as well. Nonsense. You've got to take that step of faith yourself. We're born, each and every one of us, a sinner. Therefore, that means that we are automatically barred from heaven. God is the absolute standard of holiness. Nothing in eternity, nothing in this universe can match up to the standards that God sets. He says he's of holier eyes than to behold iniquity. And so therefore, God can't let us in to the place where he dwells. Sin and its results have ruined the world. We have tsunamis and murders and whatever else you see in the news. And all of that stems from the fact that sin has entered in. It's ruined earth, and God's not going to let it ruin heaven. Some people, of course, will tell you that you can enter into heaven as long as you're good. That, again, is nonsense. I was at camp, Ayrshire Youth Camp last week, and in one of the Bible studies at night, one of the wee boys was asked, the whole group was asked, but they were asked, how do you get to heaven? And one wee boy, 10-year-old, said, my mum says, if you're good, you can get to heaven. There's a few of the older boys behind them were saved, and there's a chorus of voices that said, well, she was lying. There are maybe nicer ways they could have put it, but what they said was true. Anybody tells you that just by being good you can get into heaven is lying to you. The Bible, we were reminded earlier, says that the only way into heaven is by faith in the Lord Jesus. By grace, you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves. A gift from God. What is God's view of us then? God's view of us is that we are filthy, hell-deserving sinners. Every single one of us. Not just the unsaved people in here tonight, but myself included. Each and every one of us needs the blood of Jesus to wash us before we can actually enter into heaven. It's a hymn that says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Each and every one of us is marked by the darkness of sin. Only the blood of Jesus, and only placing your trust and your faith in that blood and in its finished work at Calvary will be enough to get you into heaven, be enough to wash you white as snow and make you acceptable in God's sight. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No. Only ever get into heaven through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Will you tonight come to that realisation that you are a sinner? I can tell you all day till I'm blue in the face that you're a sinner, but you have got to actually accept it. Isaiah accepted it. Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. Basically what that means is I've broken God's law. Will you accept that tonight? It's easy for me to say it. It's easy for you to nod your head. It's a different thing altogether for you to actually believe it. You've got to believe it, because without realising that you're a sinner, you've got really no hope. Only when we actually recognise that we're sinners can God then move to save us. Once you've heard the gospel tonight and been told that you're a sinner, then you really do have a real responsibility to accept it. God has done all the work required tonight. God brought you along to this meeting. God gave his son to die on the cross at Calvary so that there's a reason for you to be here. God has done all the work up until now. Now it's up to you. God's responsibility now stops, and now it's up to you. He's done all the work that's required. He's opened up a new and a living way through the Lord Jesus. He's given you grace that we don't deserve. And you have now got to grasp that gift that he's offered you. It's up to you tonight. Spoke as well in James's epistle, James 4, verse 14. And we asked, or James asked, what is my life? This morning, as a gentleman who just a few days ago became my brother in the Lord Jesus, and he died this morning, and he was taken home to be with the Lord. He was nearly 70, and he was lucky in that he had that long, but God extended his grace that length of time and allowed him to come to that place where he would trust in the Lord Jesus. Other people only that lucky. In the past year, there's been about 5 young folk my age have been taken away like that. Car crashes, drug overdoses. They weren't quite as lucky as Francis was. Friend, I really want to impress upon you tonight just how short your life is. James says it's like a vapour that appeareth a little while and vanisheth away. You watch your kettle boiling and watch how fast that vapour disappears. That's your life in the eyes of God. That's your life compared with eternity. You're here for what, 60 years? Some people reach 70, 80. Still pales into comparison compared to an eternal God. Don't waste it. He's given you grace to live this long. He's allowed mankind to exist this long. It's just we would have anyway finished it as soon as we sinned. But God's extended us this time to put our trust in his Son and to be redeemed. Don't waste it. Don't waste this opportunity that you have tonight to have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard a gentleman speaking a few months back, and he spoke about how he had been preaching the gospel, and as he was about to open his Bible to begin preaching, a man stood up and said, "I want to be saved." And he said, "Sit down and I'll speak to you later." That man could have died in his seat and he would have been lost. You tonight could be the very same. The Lord could come back any minute and I would be gone, and the Christians would be gone, raptured, taken home to be with the Lord, and you'd be left having heard the gospel with no second chance. Don't wait 5 minutes, don't wait an hour, don't wait till tomorrow, don't wait till you're older, till you've been to uni and whatever else, and you're established, you know, and then you've got time for God. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't waste the opportunity that you've got. What is my life? It is but a vapour that appeareth a little while and then vanisheth away. Just a twinkling of an eye. Just cry out to Jesus just now. Don't wait. Can he emphasise anymore how urgent it is. People are taken in an instant, but no second chances. Don't let you be one of them that are lost forever. What can I be? What is all your excitement about, Craig? Why is your life different from mine? Why do you seem to have a joy and a hope that I don't have? Why do I just believe that I die and I'm buried and that's it? When you seem to think or seem to know that there's something more. I know that there's something more because I've experienced salvation from the Lord Jesus. I've experienced these words speaking, as will any other Christian will have experienced the word of the Lord speaking to them. They'll know the experience of having prayers answered. God, through the death of His Son, has given us this joy that I have. One of the girls that was saved at camp, there were eight people trusted the Lord at camp, and I spoke to one of them the other day there, from quite a strange background. And I saw something, I read something that she had written. And what she could say, having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, what she had written was, I am a child of God, and heaven is now my hometown. Are you able to say that tonight? She is. I am. Can you say tonight that I am a child of God? Are you able to cry out as the Lord Jesus did, Abba, Father? I know I am. I know the other Christians in here are able to say with conviction that they are children of God. Perhaps just turn to John's Gospel, will we? And I really just want to read some verses to you. Verses which speak better than I can. They're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few verses, a few words that the Lord Jesus spoke while He was here. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And after much debate, the Lord Jesus then says this to Nicodemus, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 12, If I have told ye earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell ye of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that hath came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I've told you tonight that you must be born again, as the Lord Jesus told this man. I've given you, or I've spoken to you and told you that you're a sinner. That's the light that the Lord Jesus spoke about. Light has shone in your darkness tonight. You've been spoken to about the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you think, well, that was a nice free message. You've got to understand, a lot of people never have the privilege that you've got tonight. A lot of people never hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And even fewer people have the privilege of knowing him in a personal way. I'm told tonight, what am I? You're a sinner. What is my life? It is but a vapour. What do I get when I trust the Lord Jesus? You get the right to say, I am a child of God. The Bible says, herein is love. Not that we love God, because none of us willingly loves God. None of us love God first, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation or a sacrifice for us. Your life is but a vapour that appeareth a little time and vanisheth away. The Lord can return at any time. Snatch me away and you'll be left. Lost for eternity. Don't let that happen. You've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. If you reject it, you condemn yourself. Don't waste it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just enter into thy presence and we feel, our Father, a real burden for those who know not thy Son. We think, Heavenly Father, of the things that we've been thinking about tonight, most solemn things, Father, about the brevity of our life and about the condition of our soul, and about our need to accept thy Son as our own personal Saviour. Father, we would ask that thou would be pleased to save in this place tonight. Pray, Heavenly Father, that before it is too late, that souls would just realise their need of the Lord Jesus, that they might be able to cry, as Isaiah did, woe is me, for I am undone. That they might recognise, Heavenly Father, that they need to be redeemed by the blood of thy Son. We would just wait upon thee, Heavenly Father, to save souls in here tonight. We would ask, Heavenly Father, that those who have heard thy message and those who know not thy Son might just be convicted tonight, Father. That thy Spirit might just trouble them, Father, and that thy Spirit might just give them no rest until they have accepted thy Son. just wait upon me now, Heavenly Father. Ask Heavenly Father for blessings and for journeying mercies as we part now, and return thanks again for the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.